Well, it is so good to be back in Tucson, Arizona. I went to D.C. I was there with hundreds of thousands of people. They all came. I was there. It was a collision of events. But it was a peaceful rally to support Israel. Both parties, all different kinds of people, all ages, all ethnicities. It was really something wonderful to see. No insurrections. So I was glad to be there at that time. And I'll talk more about that later. But I was traveling yesterday, about 5 hours on planes, and Eli Crane, Congressman Crane, was on my plane. They voted, and they're not going back till the 28th. So hopefully all of our congressmen will enjoy their Thanksgiving. Checking up on emails, and I came across this story about a young boy, a 16-year-old Preston Lord, who was at a party on October 28th. And I'm invited Katie McPherson on because she lives in this area. She knows the situation. And I wanted her to explain to the listeners what happened. So, Katie, welcome back to Win Tucson. So always so glad to have you here. And thank you for joining us this morning.
Of course. Thanks for having me. This was a typical, Saturday night party before Halloween. It was a costume party, so some kids were in costumes, some were not. It was supposed to be a small gathering, but was posted on social media, which is often the case these days. So the address of the home was published, and originally there were maybe 30, 40 kids there, and then that grew to 100 and possibly up to 200 students who some were, drinking alcohol, some were not, but alcohol was definitely present.
And this was Queen Creek? Was this happening in Queen Creek?
Yes, at a residence in Queen Creek, and adults were present.
Okay. And so a 911 call comes in, and there's a disturbance. And what happened next?
So a neighbor had noticed, obviously, the volume of cars, the spillover into yards and vomiting and, causing noise. So she did call and say, I'm concerned that this is maybe growing out of control. So the first call came in prior to the assault. And then the only call that came in after hers was during the assault, which was a 911 call that someone was being assaulted. So I have four teenage daughters, as you know, and a lot of their friends were present at the party. A lot of my friends' students were at the party as well. Two students, actually, who are lifeguards, jumped in to revive him after his heart stopped and the assailants had fled.
So let's be clear about what this assault was. So this assault wasn't just punching. Can you describe to the listeners what the assault, like what the perpetrators did to Preston?
Allegedly, a lot of the details obviously are still under investigation, but
right.
From the consistent theme that I've heard is a harsh object to the back of the head, a couple of punches in the temple of the head or to the head. He did fall and hit his head on the concrete, and then someone kicked and stomped on his head.
So these bystanders, or we call them upstanders because they actually jumped in to try to help him. They gave him CPR, and then he was transported to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. And on Monday, October 30th, I believe that was 2 days later, he passed away in the hospital. So the 16-year-old boy, a good kid, not a troublemaker, a good student, as we come upon Thanksgiving and Christmas, his family. This has to be a tough time for them right now. Do you know the family, Katie?
I don't know them personally. My children attend school with their Preston's cousin, and I've gotten to know his aunt online. through this, just trying to support her and support the family as a community. You know, what can we do to support you through this awful time? And just a lovely family. He was on student council. He was on the basketball team. He was very engaged in his community. A lovely family. And it could have been any of our children at that party. This was not, like I said, a one-off. These people that did this to him have done this before. They have attacked other students in the community in this way, you know, 3-on-1, 5-on-1, 10-on-1, and videoed it. This is not their first rodeo.
So this has been going on where a group of boys will target another person, usually a boy, another boy?
Yes.
And so... But it's never resulted in the death of one of the students, but there have been injuries.
It's been close. I mean, brass knuckles have been used, gashing open heads, serious injuries to the head and to the face.
So Queen Creek Police Chief Bryce has said that they are committed to finding justice for Preston. Their investigators are determining and dedicated to solve the case. But what have you heard or what have you seen so far about that?
Well, you and I have worked with teenagers for a long time. And in my opinion, if they want kids to come forward, they have to assure these kids' safety and the safety of their siblings, their family, their residents. These kids are not messing around. They killed someone. This is not like, I'm going to come forward with all this information and feel safe. They have to be assured of their safety. And most teenagers want to report anonymously. And so I'm so thrilled that the FBI is involved. But in order for the FBI and any agency to get information from teenagers, it has to be anonymous. And they have to be assured that you are going to take this information and you're going to protect my name, and there's not going to be any retaliation against me. And I have not heard that assurance yet.
Yeah, so kids are afraid of this gang of hoodlums, I'm going to call them hoodlums, it's my word, that are targeting random people, acts of violence. The FBI is offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to the arrest, but getting kids to come forward when they've just watched someone be murdered by this group that apparently has been doing this, they're not going to be eager to do that. There has to be some assurances for safety. Katie, we've got to go to a short break. Can you stay with me? I think we have a bigger message to parents about what's going on and how we protect them and their children. This is Kathleen Wynn. You're listening to Wynn Tucson on 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. How do we keep our kids safe? We'll be back right after this with Katie McPherson. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. We are dealing with different times in our schools, and our kids are not safe, and they're not safe for a variety of reasons. But when you have a child in high school, you would assume if they went to a party of their peers that they will return home, that you should not expect your child to be beat up and left for dead and then die. And that's what happened to Preston Lord. And so, you know, Katie and I have worked on suicide, we've worked on trafficking, we've worked on administrators not doing the right thing. We've come at this from all different angles. And so I'm saddened that this family has to deal with this. And by all accounts, Preston did nothing to provoke this. He legitimately and his family are all innocent victims of this situation. Katie, what do you say to families? What is your concern right now with law enforcement and how this is being handled? So what do we do to get the real truth out and the story out about this?
I think parents and educators and law enforcement officers need to understand teen brain and be relevant and current and understand that kids will only come forward to trusted adults that are socially competent. If an adult gets information and overreacts to it, then I'm never going to that adult again. If I go to an adult with information and they underreact, I'm not going back to that adult. And so adults and parents especially need to be current and relevant. You need to know what social media is, the graphic, explicit, profane, awful nature of the things that these kids are watching is a part of this story. And so it's easy for us to be like, hey, kids, come forward with all the information. They were running out of this party. It was spilling into the streets as they watched somebody literally be murdered. And we're asking them, please come forward. And they are terrified. And so we have to be trusted adults. And we have to assure them that if you come to me, I will be the bridge to get this information to the right person. And you will not be involved in this. You will have some sort of protection, immunity. I don't know all of the legalese around that. But if I'm a teenage boy especially, there's no way that I'm coming forward with this information unless you can guarantee that I will not be involved in this.
Well, and what the concern is that some of these kids that are involved in this may have criminal ties. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. They have money, they have power, they are using substances. They were not sober that evening. This is not a new story for our teenagers to be experimenting and be using substances that create a situation where they feel like they have superpowers.
Well,
additionally, I think parents also need to recognize, like, this party is all of my work in one perfect storm. Social media, everybody was recording things that night. You've got drugs, alcohol, you have an adult who decided to allow minors to be supervised at his home with alcohol, which is never a great idea.
No.
And you have a lot of teenagers in the same space. Like, it's just never a good idea.
So, and there's many details about this party that we don't know, like who the kids were or what kids belong there, what kids didn't. When you put something out on social media, anybody can show up. But it is believed that these kids knew, did they know each other?
Wow. The children at the party spanned all the way from Ahwatukee to Queen Creek, which is a 45-mile span. So you can imagine how many high schools were represented that night. So no, a lot of the kids didn't know each other, but then a lot of kids did know each other because they're so wildly connected on social media through sports and activities. So even if you go to Mountain Point High School in Ahwatukee, you may know somebody who goes to Combs High School in CNTN because you're on a club soccer team together. So there were some kids that knew each other, but a lot of kids that didn't know each other as well. This group is known.
The group that perpetrated the crime, alleged crime, but it's a real crime because Preston's gone.
The group that was present, that was creating chaos, is known.
Is known. And this is not their first rodeo. They've created chaos at other events, correct?
They have attacked other students recently.
And so this got out of control, and this attacking, is that an initiation? Is it just a show of force?
It's an instigation. I don't like the way you look at me. I don't like your Crocs. I feel like you're a good target, but there's no rhyme or reason to who they choose. They literally every weekend look for a different victim, film it, and share it on social media for clout.
So,
their parents are aware. Their parents are aware of their behavior. And I only know that because I went to their social media platforms and they filmed being arrested. Like, they think it's funny to be arrested. So if I can see the videos, I'm certain their parents are aware that they were arrested.
And there's a total disregard for law and law enforcement. So this is
or humanity. I mean, there is no regard for fellow students, for adults, for authorities. On their social media platforms, they're making fun of law enforcement. They're dangerous.
And they're in our schools.
Yes.
So can do you see, has Queen Creek come out? Has the mayor come out? Has the school administrators come out? I mean, has there been a public outcry to stop this in Queen Creek, Arizona?
I've heard parent outcry, and I've spoken to several town council members that share my concern for, you know, this being among us. I haven't seen, you know, a blanket statement from the town itself yet.
So Queen Creek has been quiet. What about Pinell County and the Pinell County supervisors?
I haven't seen anything yet.
Okay. And
the reality is, like, you know, everyone is focused on this party, and the party got out of control, and there were teens there drinking. I'm sorry to tell y'all, that's been happening since I was 16. Those things happen every weekend.
Just 10 years ago, right, Kate?
Yes. This is not about a party getting out of control.
No.
If it hadn't been this party, it would have been somewhere. What we have and what we've had for a very long time are boys in crisis, boys using drugs and alcohol, boys being violent and having weapons. Like, this has also been going on for a very long time. So we all need to wake up and recognize, like, this is the barometer of our community, not just Queen Creek, but in the same instance, the day prior, we had a student at Desert Vista High School die by suicide on campus. So, like, between Friday afternoon and Saturday evening,
we had two deaths.
I don't know what could be worse than to lose two children in a 24-hour time span, one to suicide and one to violence. Our kids are not all right.
Our kids are not all right. I got a call, still working on a girl that turned 18 at ASU and ditched her phone and has left her family, and she's been being groomed by somebody, and so we're in search of her right now. And so there, I can let you know with great assurance that we are not okay, and our kids are not okay. And there seems to be no boundaries, and the kids seem to be, this is willful. If you beat someone up and hit them with an object on their head and you stomp on their head, you're going to kill somebody, and they did. And the fact that this has been escalating, and these kids are known to people. People know who these kids are that did this. This is not...
Well, and really, like, this is, you know, we've been watching this in our schools. If you talk to any high school administrator, 2021... 2022, most physical aggression, the most physical assaults, the most arrests for those things, as well as the deadliest year for school shootings in 2022. This is a national issue, not just a regional issue within Arizona.
I have no words. I really do. We have kids, kids are under so many pressures.
Well, and they need healthy connections with trusted adults. Healthy kids that have healthy connections with trusted adults do not beat someone to death. So whatever is going on within these homes and schools and communities, we all play a part in being a trusted adult. You cannot have that with your parents and have that with a coach, with a bishop, with a faith leader, with a community leader, with a neighbor, with an uncle. Like, I don't know what else we can do than to point out that violence prevention depends on having connected relationships with trusted adults. And that's what we can all do.
Oops, we're losing you, Katie. Are you there?
Have it.
We lost you for a second.
Step outside of your, you know, go connect with a kid that doesn't have those healthy connections. I mean, these, I feel so deeply for the kids that did this, that they are so rageful and so hurt that they would do this to someone else.
Right. Well, clearly this behavior is acting out, and doing this is insane. It is a level of insanity. But, you know, the fact that you have a family who opened up their home and knew that drugs and alcohol was there for minors, hopefully we'll start there. Let's start holding people accountable for what they're teaching and doing with our children. Katie, I want to thank you for bringing this forward, for keep us apprised. We're going to follow this investigation. Thank you again for the amazing work that you do. Proud to call you call my friend, and I can't thank you enough. This is Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson. We'll be back right after this with Rachel Jones on 1030 The Voice. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson, and I get to have my state representative on the air right now, Rachel Jones. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for being here this morning.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for having me, as always.
So you were just put on a new committee, right?
I was, yeah. I'm very honored to have been picked to be on the Education Committee.
So I know you're very busy, and we just had on Katie McPherson, and Katie is an advocate. She works with kids that are in crisis, that commit suicide. There's this story out of Queen Creek, and I just texted you to get your email address, and I don't give it out on the air. But we have this boy who went to a party. The party got out of control. He was targeted. He was beat up by this gang of boys that's been going from event to event to event and beating up on kids. And he died as a result of his injuries. Yeah, his name is Preston Lord. He is out of Queen Creek. I don't know if this is in your district or not. I know you go. Do you go into Pinal County, Rachel?
So we are a little bit up into Pinal County, but really mostly just Saddlebrook area. So Queen Creek is different. It's in a different district, I believe. And don't quote me on this, but I think Senator Hoffman represents that area, along with Representative Jacqueline Parker and Representative Neil Carter. So I think those are the representatives up in that area.
Okay.
But that is awful.
Yes.
That is horrible.
And what we're seeing is that kids are misdirected, that other kids are not coming forward to say what happened because they fear this gang of it appears to be four or five young males who are just doing this for sport. And so this wasn't their first incident. This is just their first incident that related in the death of their victim. And so will that fall under your purview, since these are kids that are all in the same school system? And we're hearing that one of the perpetrators has been transferred from school to school to school because of these incidences. Is there a way that we can, because if I'm a parent and I'm raising a kid right now, there are so many issues that are against our kids succeeding. So you're very thoughtful about this. What do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously, number one, this is, you know, very serious crimes have been committed. You're making it sound like they know who these boys are. Do you know how has a police report has been filed if this wound up in the death of this child? I think that this is beyond, obviously, this situation and this instance is far beyond now the school. These boys, I mean, they should be arrested. And I think where possibly we could maybe have an impact, you know, with some legislation or things like that, would be before it gets to that point. I just, like you said, there are so many things working against our kids these days. Social media is such it can be used for good, but there's so much bad that comes from it as well. I think it's made, you know, there's always been bullying. I mean, I'm in my 40s. Of course, that was a thing when I was in school as well.
Yes.
But I think that social media has emboldened kids to do that more so, because they get very emboldened online when they can do it, you know, and they don't have to look the other child in the eyes while they demean them and degrade them and slander them and bully them online. They're really tough online. So I think that that adds to it pouring over into where it does become potentially a physical issue. I know I had a friend down in Sierra Vista, and her daughter was dealing with the same type of thing in high school.
Yes.
Down there, where she was being so badly just degraded online. I mean, she didn't even want to go to school anymore. She was trying to graduate early, and that is stemming from it starts online and then it kind of pours over. That is where I think, and this really the administration at that particular school, they really weren't doing enough, in my opinion.
Right.
They need to be there to protect these kids before it escalates into this situation. I mean, I guess my question is, where was the principal in all of this? And I understand the other kids were scared. I mean, obviously they had a reason to be scared if these boys were.
Well, this is not their first. This incident wasn't their first. They've been doing this habitually for the last few months. And so they are taking great pride in their reign of terror. And I think that it is, and I'll just tell you, Queen Creek Chief of Police Bryce has said that they're committed to finding Justin for Preston. Preston is the name of the young man that's now deceased. They are determined and dedicated to solving this case. However, we want more than just an arrest, because if you arrest and you don't have enough evidence and you don't have enough cooperation with what happened, they want to make sure that those that were involved and that caused the death of this young man are convicted of the crime. This is very serious. This is not laughable. This is not, but they are intimidating those that were there, and they're threatening those that were there that if they come forward. So right now, the perpetrators appear to have all the power. I hope that that shifts. Yes. I hope that parents understand that if you are the parent of one of these children, this is not going to end well no matter what. But these kids seemed, there were drugs at this party, there was alcohol, there was adults that knew there were drugs and alcohol at this party. So this was an outside of the school activity, and kids, and it was on social media. So you had kids from all across the valley, not just from Queen Creek. But we as parents need to stop being our kids' friends. We need to be parents. You know, I took great pride and being the mean mom I am, you know, I wasn't bad in terms of like breaking the law, but I was stern. I was like not, and I'm great friends with all my kids now, and now they're parents and they're great parents, but you cannot let your kids become your buddy. They need your guidance. They need direction. They need to know where the boundaries are. And clearly these kids that are committing these crimes have no boundaries. And does the state legislature have any teeth in? I mean, can you do anything about that? Obviously there's laws on the books. You're not allowed to murder people. Number one, just so we start with some premise but we shouldn't have to say that. How insane is that?
Well, I know, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Where are the parents? And I think one of the problems, and something that is coming to mind, a piece of legislation that I wanted to run last year that we could potentially even tweak this session. It was never even heard in the Education Committee. So now that I'm on the Education Committee, that right there, I should have a better chance, you know, getting at least that bill in front of the chair. It was a bill that held the school counselors, the social workers, you know, those adults that are in the child's life, in the student's life at the school, it basically held them accountable for disclosing certain things to the parents, number one, and then not disclosing certain other things to the student that the parent wouldn't have given permission to do so. So that was the bill. And I'm thinking, you know, it's gotten so, in the public school system specifically, and I'm not saying that private schools and charter schools are not guilty of this as well, but more so in the public schools, where the teachers are so worried about not offending these kids and being so inclusive on so many fronts, that it does give you know, teenagers have struggles anyway, and they're dealing with hormones and weird things like that, you know, and that which doesn't help the situation. But when they feel like they can just have free rein to do whatever, and the schools aren't really holding them accountable, some of them, and, you know, it is like this, everybody gets a participation trophy generation that, like you said, when your kids were younger and when I was younger, I mean, that was not the way it went. I mean, No. We reality hits you upside the head sometimes, and that taught you life lessons that prepared you for adulthood. And a lot of what's going on these days is these kids are not getting those life lessons. And then they go to schools where the staff, the teachers, the principals are just saying, you just do whatever you want. You be whoever you want to be, just have free reign. And then these types of things come from that,
right,
in my opinion. So I do think that there is actually a specific bill that I could even tweak to kind of address this issue potentially for this next session.
Maybe call it the Preston Lord bill, because I'm going to tell you that I think that we're just at the start of this story. And that
And
this kid was an athlete. He was a straight A student. He was a good kid. No one, to your point about school counselors and teachers, no one would have picked this kid out as he was the victim. No one would have said, someone's going to pick on that kid. He was well liked. He all around good kid. But gang of students that are so angry and acting out and being aggressive, that's where the issue is. And that's where people are accountable right now. Their parents have to know. The school has to know. They are not unknown to people. The police are asking for parents to if they have direct evidence, to come forward. And I would ask the same. And go ahead, please.
That's on that. You're actually addressing exactly what I was going to say to that point. There were other students who knew that this was going on, that had been at parties, or, you know, kids talk a lot.
Right.
So obviously some of these students knew. Some of my kids, when they were in high school, and I still have one high school age, they always, but granted, we had a very and still have a very open line of communication, but they always would have come to me to tell me those types of things. And so, you know, someone, whether a student went to a counselor at school, or there had to have been an adult or multiple adults that were privy to this information. So I'm not sure. I hope that they get to the bottom of that, because somebody should have come forward, and especially an adult. I'm not saying the kids. I understand the kids are just kids, and they were scared. They were probably scared if they went to anybody, they would also get beat up by these boys. But there had to. Don't tell me there was not an adult somewhere along the lines, especially if it was someone within the school, who should have reported this before it got to this point.
I guarantee you the parents of these boys know right now. I guarantee you. And so I beg them to do the right thing. It is so, you know, we have to have personal responsibility, and we have to change the trajectory of how we're raising our kids. Rachel, we're going to take a short break. Can I get you to stay? And then I'm going to shift gears a little. I want to hear, we're coming up on another legislative session. Aren't you so excited? We need you there to fix some things in our legislature. So please stay with us. This is Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson on 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. And Matt, thanks for the great weather. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. We are talking to Representative Rachel Jones from LD 17, my LD. I take great pride in my LD, just so you know. And Rachel, welcome back. So, new legislative session, you and Corey McGarr, the Freedom Team in the House. What's up your sleeves? And you guys are on this committee together, right?
Education, but we will have our first committee assignment together, which that could be trouble. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. So actually, I'm the vice chair on military and public safety, and Corey, our newest member.
Hey, Rachel, I don't know where you are, but you keep cutting in and out. And I don't know what to tell you.
Let me move around a little bit. Sometimes I have that issue here. Is that better?
Yes, much better. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. So we are going to serve on the Military and Public Safety Committee together, and he's very much, he has some law enforcement in his, I know he has a couple of relatives that have been police officers. So it should be fun. That's actually one of my favorite committees, is the Military and Public Safety, and I'm the vice chair, so we should have a lot of fun with that.
Can we use military and public safety, let's say, at our border?
Well, yeah, as far as, you know, what we can do as a state to address the absolute travesty that's going on at the border, it has everything to do with military and public safety. We have our first line of defense as a state should be our DPS officers and our sheriffs. And so we need to, I worked very, very diligently this last session to make sure that we were funding them. I know that our Department of Public Safety, they were working out of dilapidated buildings. They had radios that were, you know, 25 years old and things like that. So I may be a frugal conservative, but when it comes to ensuring that our law enforcement have what they need to do their jobs,
right,
I believe that that's a perfectly fine role of government to fund that. As well as obviously funding our infrastructure and roads and things like that.
So. Well, we know the cartels have the top guns, and we know that they have the best comms equipment. And so we should at least be comparable to those people that we are trying to guard against. I thank you, because we want to be fiscally conservative, but we don't want to be stupid about where we're spending our money. We want to put it to the greatest need and where the worst problem is. And I think we'd be kidding ourselves if we didn't think that the border was our worst problem, at least in the state. Not to say there's not problem 2, 3, 4 down the line, but education. So you mentioned some things. Anything else you want to add to that that you want to see out of that committee?
Well, I think right now it's very obvious. There was a post that was put out by the Pima County Democratic Party, and they basically said, we're coming for school choice. We are going to dismantle that as quickly and as we can. And so I am known to be a little bit of a fireball on Twitter, and I really quickly said, over my dead body, you're coming for ESA, and guess who's the newest member on the Education Committee? So I will do everything I can to make sure that ESA stays safe. I'm not sure, there are so many false narratives going around about the ESAs. The money should follow the child. Plain and simple.
Right.
If, you know, I have 5 children. They all were very different from each other as far as needs. And some, it is not a one size fits all with education. You should be able to take your child where you know they're going to be successful. And quite frankly, I know Corey has talked a lot about it. In a free market system, if you're not happy with the public government-run school, you should be able to take your child out and put them where they're not being indoctrinated with woke ridiculousness. And I don't know why they're so offended. We're all taxpayers putting money into the pot for education. And when you do pull a child out of a public school, they still get to keep quite a bit of money. I know one of the things they say is we're one of the, you know, lowest as far as per pupil funding. But all in all, once you put the federal money in there, it's about 15 grand for each student in the public school system, where you can take a child to a private school in the Tucson area anyway for about 11,000 a year. So it's actually more money is being spent on that child in the public school than you would spend on a child going to a private school.
Well, and quite frankly, it's a money grab. If you look at what the Democrats try to do, they try to do all kinds of money that they throw at problems, which they're not accountable for. This way, when the money goes with the student, you know how your student's doing. And as a parent of seven kids and six of them that we had in the schools, there was a time when they were all at different high schools. They weren't at the same thing. I would leave my house in the morning and drop people off. I was like an Uber driver every day. And, I used to kid if I drove straight, I could get to LA every day. But but to your point, kids are different and they are unique. And who better to parent a child than the parent of the child, not the Democrat Party? This is a big no. And, this was one of the victories that Doug Ducey actually had. And I think we should fight with everything that we have to protect these. This is so important that parents get to control their kids' education, and the money should stay with the child.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, when Speaker Toma called me about a week ago to let me know I was going to be on this committee, I have a full plate this session. I'm going to be on four committees, so I don't know if I should be scared or honored or whatever, but I do think he saw me when he asked me to be on the education committee. I do have a background as a teacher, so there's that. And I do believe he knows that I will fight for ESA, which is his baby. I mean, he was the one that really pushed that along with Governor Ducey. And the last thing he wants is for anything to happen to that ESA. So I know he knows I'll fight for that, as I believe the Republicans on that committee will all do at this point in time. But I do want to talk about another thing that might be coming down the pipeline.
Yes.
Has to do with teacher pay. And I don't know where I'm at on this particular bill yet, but I do believe that one of the most ridiculous claims, you know, from the other side is that, well, we're not paying the teachers enough, which I agree with, but it's we need to just keep dumping more and more and more money into the public schools. Well, the problem that we have, not only do we feel that there's a lot of woke ideology being, you know, just indoctrinating our kids in these public schools, the other problem is the misappropriation of the funds. So if we keep just pouring more and more money into this, bureaucrats at the top in the high administration, they're the ones that get all that money, and it's never making its way to the classroom, to the teachers, and to the students.
Yeah, it's so bad. It is so bad. We have bloated administrations. We've had this problem for years, and the people that really need the money are these teachers. And if you can make it specific that it does not go into the hands of the administrators, because if it does, don't do it. There so much funding goes to education, and so much of it doesn't get applied correctly. Kind of reminds me of the federal government right now. So much money going in so many places, and we have no accountability. And this is just a money grab. Again, kind of back to the ESAs. They want to control the money. And so, I appreciate you, and thank you for coming on at the last minute. We had a hiccup with another guest, but you're so wonderful. So thank you for your time today, and we'll look forward to your education bills, and tell Corey he has to behave. This has been Kathleen Wynn. This has been Wynn Tucson on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's good to be home. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay dry.